The Wander Podcast, what to do, see, and experience in Arizona. Each week, we visit with special guests and discuss various topics focusing on Arizona's tourism, business, manufacturing, and sports. Now, here's your hosts, Paul Conant and Jamie Copeland.
Hi, everybody. It's Paul Conant. I'm here with my co-host, Jamie Copeland. Jamie, how are you?
Co-conspirator. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, we got really two special guests here today.
I was going to correct you if you only said one. We have two.
I know you were waiting.
One is sitting at the table and the other's lying on the table.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, it would be great to show this, but it's, you know, one more reason, right? Dave will probably want us to do video.
Slithering across the table.
I was going to say, I promise I'm not the guest lying on the table.
That's excellent. But we're going to talk more about that in a minute.
Absolutely. So,
And we'll introduce our guest. But today our podcast is brought to you by Williams, Arizona. Now, they are a great, you could go there year round. I mean, it's just not a summer place or a winter place. And again, I'm planning my winter to get out there and check it out. But it's looks really cool. We got a lot of cool things happening.
Promises.
That's right. It's located in northern Arizona. It's the gateway to the Grand Canyon via the Grand Canyon Railway. Home to Route 66 and a number of great family adventures like Arizona and mountain goats and bison and all kind of cool things that are out there.
Grand Canyon Railway?
Yeah. Well, we've got the Arizona.
Yep, that's Arizona, true. Right? Yeah, so absolutely.
All kinds of fun things.
And it's only 25 minutes west of Flagstaff, Arizona.
Very nice. So easy to get to. So if anybody's listening, make sure you get up there. I am going to this year. I promise.
City of Williams is a great place to visit and spend a day. It really is. Have you been there, Christy?
I love Williams. I was hoping you were going to ask me. I love Williams. I go up there several times a year. My favorite is that railroad. Oh, my gosh. They have an amazing train that takes you out. My kids, I have three kids, and they go nuts for the pumpkin patch. We go there for the Polar Express over Christmas. And then I have a ton of friends over at Arizona. It's one of my favorite places.
Very cool.
And so here's a lead into our guest of the day.
Our guest who loves Williams, which is fantastic. It's good to have you. Christy Morcom, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Christy is the she's a director of media relations for the Wildlife World Zoo Aquarium and Safari Park here in Arizona. This is a very interesting place. Another place, Robin, are you shocked at this? I haven't been there.
I haven't even been there either, so I'm with you.
It's all right.
We need a field trip, dude.
We've got to check this one out because this is very cool. And Christy brought along a guest, a very special guest, Rosie, the ball python,
which is
laying here on the table, just chilling out. I mean, it's pretty mellow.
Well, everybody picked up Rosie and said hello, except for one.
Geez, thanks. I've dated a lot of snakes, James. So, you know. I was trying to reserve that for later.
So you know a snake when you see one, right?
Well, Rosie's beautiful. I'll have to give her that. Yes.
Yeah. Female, and she's gorgeous.
This is very cool. So welcome to the show, Chris. I appreciate you coming up here. You brought the python. Tell us a little bit about the python. I mean, and we're going to get into the wildlife zoo, but tell us about the python. Introduce the python to us.
Okay, this is Rosie. She is a ball python. They get the name ball python because whenever they're resting or they feel threatened, they like to curl into a ball because that's how they're going to be the most safe out in the wild. They can oftentimes tuck their head in the middle of that ball to protect their head from predators. They are a gorgeous snake. She's a couple of different shades of brown, and they like to hang out up in the trees. They don't get large. They're only a couple feet long, typically. However, they can swallow things that are 3 to 5 times the size of their head. That would be like us swallowing a watermelon whole.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I mean, it's so pretty just sitting there. You would think, you know, it'd be a little more action, but just chilling out.
She's just hanging, and I think she likes your lights. You know, it feels good. She's cold-blooded.
Right?
Yep. She's basking, taking in her surroundings, and right now she's sticking her tongue out at you guys, checking to see what you ate for lunch.
Very cool.
Yes.
So tell us about the wildlife zoo. I mean, here's something that for the people that come to our podcast are really looking for things to do in Arizona, and that's how we find a lot of our demographics are looking at it. So, you know, I didn't know about the wildlife zoo until Jamie shares all these great places with me and wineries and zoos and all these things I didn't know about. Tell us about it because it seems like a very interesting place. How did it get started and, you know, what's your role there?
Gosh, where do I start? I hope after this podcast, you are very excited to come out and visit us along with your listeners. We are the largest exotic animal collection in Arizona. one of the top in the country as far as diversity goes. And depending on who you ask, one of the most successful privately owned zoos in the world. It was started back in 84 by Mickey Olson, who is our owner. He was actually a school teacher. And he retired from teaching, decided to open the zoo. He's still there almost every single day. He's 80 years old now. And it's just incredible. When you walk through the zoo, it's very hands-on. We have over 6,000 animals and over 600 different species. The diversity of our collection is unbelievable. And people can come out. You get really close to the animals. It's very interactive. But what we do for the world of conservation is incredible. We have so many different world-renowned breeding programs, and we have a lot of animals that people otherwise would never get the opportunity to see and might not even exist in the wild if it wasn't for the intervention of zoos.
It's amazing. What made you get into it?
I have always loved animals. It's something I've always wanted to do. I've actually been going to Wildlife World since I was in diapers when I was less than a year old. I have pictures in the petting zoo, and I grew up going to that zoo, so it's something that's really special to me. And it was there that I was truly inspired to want to conserve and protect wildlife. So I started as a volunteer over 14 years ago and slowly worked my way up to where I am today. Now I'm the director of media relations, and I get the opportunity to share the word of conservation with the public and get people just as excited as I am about animals and saving them.
That's fantastic.
You know, Mickey is a really, really unique individual. To carry on a bit, he actually, while he was a high school teacher in Glendale, collected exotic birds. And he put them in his backyard, and he would take school kids. They come ultimately by the busloads to see the exotic birds and whatnot, and he would educate them on the various species and whatnot. And that started at 35 years ago. And now he's built it into what he has today. He's been an advertiser, a client of Wander AZ for almost 15 years. But more important to me is the friendship that I've generated with Mickey. He is one of the classiest, most down-to-earth, caring, compassionate human beings I've ever met. And we often just sit and chat about things that, you know, everyday life and whatnot. I see him once a year. Pandemic was a little difficult, and we just sit and chew the fat and talk about things. But Christy's right. You know, there was a time, you know, in this country where everybody was beating up on zoos. And, you know, how uncaring and whatnot it is to have these animals, you know, caged. They're really not caged. They have a large surrounding area based on what their lifestyle is. But Mickey told me many years ago, as you just said, Christy, if he didn't take in, and zoos like his around the world did not take in these animals, they'd be extinct. You'd only be able to read about them in National Geographic or on the Historic Channel. So, I mean, there are zoos that are more commercial than others. Mickey's is a really, really unbelievable venue. And I think he had one of his best years last year.
Oh my gosh, yes. So, like so many other businesses in the Valley, during the pandemic, we had to close our doors. It was from March all the way until September. And I know some of the other zoos were able to open in between that just to have to shut down again. Because no one knew what was going on with COVID. But we shut our doors. We stayed shut the whole time. We still had to be there every single day taking care of the animals. And once we were able to reopen our doors, everyone was excited to have an environment they could come and bring their families that was primarily outdoors, were over 100 developed acres, and make memories with their families because so many places were closed and there wasn't a lot that people could do. And because of that, we had record-breaking attendance once we were able to open our doors, which meant so much to us to have the support from the community because we are a privately owned zoo, so we don't get any sort of outside funding like other zoos do. So when our doors were shut, we were not making any money. The majority of our income we get from admission, from people coming out. So we value the support of our community, and we couldn't be more thrilled that we had those record-breaking numbers. And as you know, since you've known Mickey all these years, he takes all that money and he puts it right back into the park.
It's amazing, Christy. He absolutely does. And look, before Paul gets into additional questions, a little overview of the zoo. It's a zoo. It's an aquarium. You have a safari park. I mean, Mickey continues to expand year after year. You've got sky rides and train rides and restaurants and whatnot. What's the total acreage right now, Christy?
It's over 100 developed acres. People tell me all the time that you need a full 2 days to see everything now. It's amazing, especially if you go with young kids. I mean, you need to get there early. We open at 9 a.m. The zoo stays open until 6. The aquarium stays open until 7. And we do have a lot going on, so you will have an action-packed full day with our 10 rides, all of our zoo animals, the safari park, Adventureland, the full aquarium. We have several interactive shows and feedings, and it's really an amazing place.
That's awesome. You know, I was thinking, if you're shut down that whole time, you're saying the employees have to be there, but they have to eat, right? The animals have to eat. So there's probably a cost of how much food is brought into the animals. Is that, that has to be astronomical.
It was a horrendous cost.
Yeah, it was a horrendous cost. Fortunately for us, Mickey is an amazing businessman. So the zoo had no debt going into the pandemic and into the closure because he has grown the zoo very slowly. We started very small, and he has a business motto where he will save up enough money for half the project he wants to build, and then he will borrow the other half from the bank. He will build that project, and then he will figure out what his next project is, but he won't start that project till he's saved up half of what that's going to cost. Wow. And that's how he's grown the zoo to what it is today. And the only reason we were able to survive being privately owned and not having funding for that long.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
He's a good businessman as well as a good zookeeper. That's amazing.
He's incredible.
And with all due respect, as I said before, I can't say it enough, a far better human being.
Really?
He really is.
Yeah, you've always said, I mean, since we first met, you've mentioned him, and what a great, he would ask me, have you ever been to the wildlife? So I'm like, no, oh my God, you got to go down there. It's amazing. Always had great things to say about it, so it's good.
And I have to take this opportunity just to continue, not to like keep talking about how amazing Mickey Olson is, but he is. Not only does he like to give back to the community by having this amazing establishment where people can come out and educate themselves on wildlife, but he likes to give back to the community in other ways. So this past weekend, we had a law enforcement appreciation day, which was a several hundred thousand dollar investment on our part to be able to treat first responders. It was law enforcement, fire, and their families to free admission to the zoo, unlimited rides. We've never done anything like that. We started 2 years ago, and last year we were unable to do it because of the pandemic and being closed, but we were able to do it again this year. So we're able to give back. We had the Attorney General Mark Brnovich out there thanking all the first responders, Mike Broomhead. And then this coming week, we are doing a 5K to raise money for giraffes because they're silently slipping into extinction. And we're donating 100% of the proceeds to Save Giraffes Now, which is one of the world's largest giraffe conservation organizations. So he utilizes Wildlife World the best we know how to just give back to as many people and animals and organizations as we can.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a cool place.
So Christy, why don't you tell, where is it exactly located in the West Valley?
Okay, we are right off the 303 in Northern Avenue in Litchfield Park. So it's really easy to get to us now from anywhere in the valley. Now that we have the 303, you can get to it from North Phoenix, from the east side. There's now that 202 that goes around. So no matter where you are, we're at farthest about 45 minutes away, where it used to be a lot harder to get to us, especially when Mickey opened. It was like a little tiny road.
It was a dirt road, literally.
Yeah, in our little dirt parking lot. And now we have two giant entrances. When you drive down the 303, you can actually see us since we're right off the 303. It's pretty incredible because it's like a massive living billboard. You know that when kids are in the car in the back seat with their parents and they're driving by, they're asking their parents to come to Wildlife World. It's really great.
They have rides there too, you were saying. So there's...
Yeah, we have 10 rides, and our rides are all integrated into the animals, which is great. So we have a log ride that takes you through part of the aquarium, a roller coaster that takes you through some llamas, a zip line that takes you, 100 feet up in the air, and you go shooting down. It's a soaring eagle zipline, so you get really a bird's eye view of the park and all kinds of incredible West Valley views. and lots of other rides, a giant vertigo swing that takes you 100 feet in the air and spins you around, lots of kids' rides, sky ride, even rides for infants where you could just set your baby on your lap and go on the train or the tram. It's a lot of fun.
Excellent. I mean, a lot of things to do. Again, didn't know about it, which is, you know, amazing that all these things are kind of hidden in Phoenix and in Arizona that we don't know about.
That is
very
true.
Cool. Animals, South American animals, is there a majority of them from that area, or how does
that work? So that's a great question. We have animals from all over the world. Depending on where you're at in the zoo, oftentimes dictates what animals you're surrounded by. We have our safari park, which is a lot of African animals. Our Adventureland, which is a fairly new area, gosh, I think about 6 years old now, and we have lots of animals from North, South, and Central America. And it was when we opened that area, we included a lot of native animals to our collection, because prior to that, it was mainly exotic animals. And a lot of animals that are from a very warm climate. So we have several indoor animal exhibit buildings where you're going to find your animals from more of a temperate climate. However, the majority of our outside animals are animals that thrive in an environment like Arizona. Our climate really lends itself to African animals, Australian animals, and animals from a really warm climate. So they have a lot of special adaptations that help them thrive. And it's one of the reasons we have so many successful breeding programs. One of the reasons, I mean, we have an incredible medical team, animal care staff, and they're in very natural environments, which all helps with our breeding programs. But our environment is wonderful, and the animals really do thrive, even in the summertime, which, of course, people ask me that often, because we do get so hot here in Arizona.
If somebody has a, how do you get the animals there? So if you're, you know, I don't know, in Africa, and there's an animal that you want to get it to the zoo, how is that whole thing brokered or put together?
That is such a great question, because people wonder, how do we get our animals in zoos? You know, back in the day, you were having to take animals from the wild to populate these zoos, and it's not like that anymore. In 99% of the cases, we have lots of breeding programs that are managed under human care, which are like little insurance policies for these animals. If their wild counterparts are having a hard time or do go extinct, we have these breeding programs that we can sustain the species. So that's how we get a lot of our animals. And zoos do a lot of trading among other zoos. However, in some cases, you do get your animals from other places in the world or from the wild. And one way that we acquired our rhinos is like that. So we have three female rhinos that we actually imported from South Africa. It was a huge deal in the world of conservation. They were orphan rhinos, and for anyone who knows anything about rhinos, you know that they're getting poached for their horn. In some Asian cultures, it's thought to be an aphrodisiac. And in South Africa alone, there are four or more white rhinos poached every single day. So if something isn't done right now to stop that, they could potentially be extinct from the wild within our lifetime. So it was really important to us to put together a breeding program to try and save the species. So we imported those three female rhinos, which had to be protected by armed guards 24 hours a day for months prior to their departure. And then we got them here in Arizona, which was just an amazing feat. It took a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources and professionals to get them over. They had to travel with vets from Africa. And then once we got the girls here, they were younger, so we needed them to get acclimated with their new home and get a little bit larger and sexually mature. And just recently, we got a male rhino from the San Diego park. And the male rhino was another imported rhino. So if you think about that, that is four new bloodlines to help increase the genetic diversity of rhinos. The three females that we got are all unrelated, and they are unrelated to the male. So now they are all cohabitating and doing wonderful. Our male rhino is quite pleased. He has three new girlfriends.
Very, very happy guy there.
His little harem.
Right?
I can see Paul smiling here. You know, that's for sure.
We should have named him Hugh Hefner, but he came with a name. And hopefully here before too long, we're going to have baby rhinos.
Wow.
How exciting is that?
That's very cool.
That's really cool.
Absolutely. So incredible and such a wonderful story on the world of conservation.
Do you document a lot of this on social media or on your website and stuff like that?
We do. So we're constantly trying to get the word out, everything that we're doing for conservation, how people can help, how people can get involved. Even just going to your local zoo is supporting conservation. And a lot of people don't realize that. It's good to know all the conservation work your local zoo is doing, because when you visit them, you're supporting that work. And we do. We try to get the word out there so people know, and that's when they're inspired to want to help. And we try to make it really easy, like the giraffe jam that we're hosting for the first time ever. We like to provide people with a way where they can help, and it's fun, and it also directly contributes to the survival or conservation of a species.
That's excellent. I mean, you have the giraffes, you have the rhinos, do you have sloths, do you have anything like that?
Oh, yeah. We have pretty much everything. We have so many different animals and so many different stories that are just like that are amazing. One of my favorite animals we have right now are our African pygmy hippos. They are so adorable. They're the only hippos in the state of Arizona, and they don't even look real. They're pygmy hippos. So they look like little miniature versions of, you know, the big African hippos we all think of. And unfortunately, they're a critically endangered species. So there's only a few thousand left of them in the wild, and we don't know that much about them. They're a very elusive species. So that is an animal that most of what we know about African pygmy hippos is what we've been able to gain and learn from them by having them under human care in zoos. Wow. And we have a male and a female. So hopefully we have little babies. Little
baby pygmy hippos. That'd be interesting.
The zoo is all about babies there, Paul. That's clear. Hey, look, I don't want our listeners to think we're being rude to our second guest here, Rosie. But Rosie is just checking Paul out and myself.
She's falling asleep.
Yeah, we'd ask her some questions, but I don't think we're going to get an answer. But I didn't want our listeners to think we were being rude. That's all.
This is great information. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of great causes, a lot of good things happening there. So definitely recommend anybody to, you know, visit the zoo for sure.
Yeah, when I first took my grandkids to the zoo, we could do it in a day, maybe three quarters of a day, and we were beat. I mean, I know I was. And you're absolutely right, Christy, with what Mickey has done over the years, I mean, with all the various other venues and whatnot that he has. It's a good two-day. I mean, really, if you want to do it in a day, you've got to pick where you want to go, because you certainly can't see it all.
Yeah, there's so much, especially with the youngsters. I know my three kids slow me down. When I don't have them with me, I can blow through the zoo and see a ton. When I have them with me, they get so distracted, and they want to stop at the Lori Parrott feeding. And get this. Okay, you would think having three kids, and of course, I've been at Wildlife World for so long, so they get a little bit more access than the general public. And they get some pretty cool opportunities. So people are always asking them, what is your favorite animal? What's the coolest thing you've done at Wildlife World? Their favorite thing there are the peacocks.
Really?
The peacocks that are free roaming. And I'm like, what?
That's probably why, because they're just out and about amongst everybody.
The peacocks, I don't even see them anymore. I'm so desensitized to the peacocks. Everyone freaks out over them. I'm like, oh yeah, there is a peacock. And yeah, the peacocks are my children's favorite by far.
Got it. Well, we'll have to look for that. Interesting.
Great venue.
Christy, thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks for bringing Rosie along with you.
And before you leave us, you got to tell us what the days and hours are, because I'm thinking I need a road trip up there real quick.
You do. You need a road trip. I am so excited for you to see Wildlife World and for you to see Wildlife World, because if you have not been, you are going to be blown away. We are open every single day of the year. Rain or shine, whether it's a holiday, we'll be open Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's. And the zoo opens at 9 a.m. The zoo and aquarium open at 9 a.m. The zoo stays open until 6, and the aquarium stays open until 7.
Awesome.
Got it noted. You're going?
I'd like to go up there Monday. Let's just put that out there. I want to go up there Monday. I got nothing going on Monday.
All right.
Can we make a deal? Let's make it happen.
Perfect. Yes, you're going to make it happen. Christy, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Us.
Yes, absolutely. Come back again. Bring Rosie again.
Love
it. It'll be good.
Now, lizards next time.
Lizards? All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
I got you.
For sure.
Yeah.
I got the perfect lizard.
Cool. Sounds good. The Wildlife Zoo and Aquarium is 100 acres, and that's in Litchfield Park. That's right near Phoenix. The zoo specializes in African and South American animals, as well as the largest collection of exotic animals. Is it 600 species almost? Or
yep,
plus?
Over 600
like
species. Over 4,000 animals.
6,000. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. The visitors could feed the giraffes. parrots.
Feed the giraffes, the lorry parrots. We have tons of touch tanks and a petting zoo. It's you can touch the stingrays.
Really?
I could just
everything.
Go on and there's, on. Yeah.
It's just all kinds of cool things to do. Make sure you've already given the hours. We know that. Check them on social media. We can see a lot of stuff going on there. Check out the website. And that's it. Jamie, any last words?
Hey, look, it's great to have you, Christy, and I wish you the very best for the holidays coming up. And always, as I say, the best to Mickey. Just a very true human being.
I couldn't agree with you more. I will definitely give him your best.
Excellent. That wraps up the show today. If you like it, please share it on social media with your friends and family. And do like it where you download your podcast. That really does help, and we do appreciate it.
Are you looking for the perfect spot to enjoy your favorite outdoor recreational activity? Then Williams, Arizona is the spot for you. Surrounded by Kaibab National Forest, it offers you hiking, camping, fishing, golfing, mountain biking, and so much more. Or simply take in the gorgeous landscapes. Williams offers you great restaurants, shops, and many fabulous attractions. Just 25 minutes west of Flagstaff, Williams is your gateway to the Grand Canyon. For more information, go to experiencewilliams.com. Thank you for listening to the Wander Podcast with your hosts, Paul Conant and Jamie Copeland. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends, subscribe, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Want more information on the Wander Podcast and our publication, Wander AZ Magazine, Arizona's number one in-room publication? Visit wanderaz.com.